Graver remained seated, leaving Avrakatos standing like an uncomfortable schoolboy. The division chief said that the coveted Helsinki station chief job was no longer his. The assignment was on the books, but Graver was taking it away. The conversation had barely begun when, contrary to all protocol, Avrakatos ended it. Not merely that, but he ended it by telling Graver to go fuck himself. As Avrakatos turned and burst past the secretaries and case officers in Graver's outer office, he knew he'd transgressed in a world that is not generous to those who break the internal code of conduct. The CIA, and particularly its elite clandestine services, maintains a pretense of informality. Its officers dress in civilian clothes and call each other by their first names. But underneath, it is organized just like the military, and majors, of Avrakatos' equivalent rank, don't get away with telling off four-star generals. Bill Graver was now in a position to effectively put an end to Gust's career. Graver no doubt assumed that he had caught Avrakatos by surprise and that the poor fellow had simply lost control. But Graver had no idea who he was dealing with and what a dangerous enemy he had just made for himself. Whatever qualities as a gentleman Avrakatos may have lacked in Graver's eyes, when it came to espionage, no one could outdo him. As was his practice, Avrakatos had cultivated a spy in the division who had tipped him off to Graver's plans weeks earlier. The source had even alerted Gust that another officer had already been picked for a post Graver now had said he would consider giving to him. At that point, Avrakatos concluded that Graver was not just taking away his promotion, he was out to destroy and humiliate him. Perhaps if Graver had simply said he didn't want anything to do with Gust, it would have ended there. But a rage verging on violence had swept over Avrakatos when he was faced with Graver's calculated lie. The man didn't have the balls to say it straight. To the wounded Greek, it was simply the Halloween Day massacre all over again. The Teutonic bastard seemed to think he could get away with this latest ethnic cleansing and expect Gust Avrakatos to just say, "Thank you very much," and disappear. Something dark and dangerous detonated inside of Avrakatos that previously he had unleashed only on America's enemies. He had an attitude about the Blue Bloods, the cake-eaters who ruled the CIA. There's no question about that. But the truth is, he revered the agency and gave it and his country every ounce of his quite remarkable talents and energies. Graver had hurt him in ways that went beyond the crippling of Avrakatos' career. It was almost as if he had taken away all of Gust's previous accomplishments and declared him unfit to serve anywhere in his division. Now, after the outburst, this man who didn't even know him was in a position to make sure that Avrakatos would have no further prospects for advancement. But life can sometimes be like a Dickens novel, with characters who meet early on destined to cross paths later, as if for a purpose. That was certainly the case with the friendship that Avrakatos had forged in Greece with Claire George, recently risen to become the second man in the clandestine services and heir apparent to take over the Directorate of Operations. If there was any one person who owed Gust, it was Claire George, and Avrakatos fully expected that this old friend would come to his rescue. The two had forged their friendship over 3 years in Athens at the height of the 17 November terrorist campaign. George had volunteered to take over the Athens station just after Richard Welch was assassinated, and he had looked to Avrakatos to guide him through the treacherous landscape of Greece in the 1970s. For all practical purposes, he had shared with Avrakatos the responsibility for running the CIA's huge Athens station. Gust handled the underground side of the station, the network of safe houses, the security teams, and the liaisons with the military and the local police. In the wake of Welch's assassination, when everything important entailed dirty work, Gust was king, and Claire George depended on him. They spent their days and often their nights together, always the principal targets of 17 November and always plotting how to strike first. They drank together, they reveled together, and, like a ferocious guardian angel, Avrakatos watched over George's safety, even passing on to him his longtime personal driver and bodyguard. By curious coincidence, George and Avrakatos came from little towns just 10 miles apart in Pennsylvania. George, a postman's son, found it easy and rewarding to adopt the manner, clothing, and attitude of the CIA's ruling elite. Gust would kid him mercilessly about being a Beaver Falls pussy, the kind of sissy Aliquippans used to love to beat up. But in truth, Avrakatos loved the man. He even approved of George's chameleon-like ability to assimilate and move onto the agency's fast track. What Avrakatos valued most, however, was the way George had stood by him and the ethnic officers targeted during the Halloween Day massacre. George hadn't signed his own name to any of the cables back then, but he had given his silent support, which was enough to make Gust feel confident that George would back him now. When Graver demanded that Avrakatos be punished, George had his old friend come up to the seventh floor for a heart-to-heart talk. "Costa, Costa," George began, using Avrakatos's old Greek nickname. George didn't say anything explicit about what Gust must do. He was trying to be helpful, to make Gust recognize that he had a first-class problem that needed to be dealt with. He appealed to Gust not to offend Graver again. "He can hurt you badly." "You know who I am," Avrakatos said. "I'm not going to kiss his ass. He didn't want me anywhere in his division." "Yes, but you can't tell him to go fuck himself. He's very powerful." When Graver's secretary called a few days later to schedule another meeting, Avrakatos assumed that George had smoothed things over. Nevertheless, he had his guard up as he walked back into the large fifth-floor office. The last time, Graver had asked him to close the door. He asked again this time, but Avrakatos decided to leave it open. "I didn't know what was going to happen, but I wanted witnesses," he explained. Once again, Graver remained seated. "Well," Graver finally said after a long pause. "Well, what?" "The ADDO, Assistant Deputy Director for Operations, said you were going to apologize." It may be that Avrakatos had some kind of death wish. Perhaps he had allowed himself to expect good news from Graver. He may have been disappointed to find that Claire George had not delivered for him. But it didn't really matter, because he was now left with no good choices. Not all that much was being asked of him, a gesture, even some small effort to make peace. But it was suddenly too late for that. Once again, Avrakatos was overcome with a feeling of class rage and anger that verged on violence. Once again, he looked straight in Graver's eyes, and once again, he crossed the line. "You can go fuck yourself."